we can look to you and know that you are good. Lord, that the terrible things that happen on this planet, God, are not you, Lord, that they are not what you had planned for us and for this world, God. We know that what you have for us is good. Lord, we look to you and we trust you in our different situations in life. And Lord, we just rely on you for strength and for guidance, for wisdom, God. We thank you for your love for us, Lord, for your son Jesus on the cross and his resurrection, which means we can spend forever with you, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to continue to do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you have any kids that want to go to class, we have 3rd through 5th grade meeting in the back there. K through 2 meets downstairs. So you are welcome to go for that, young people, if you are wanting to go to that. If not, we are going to enjoy some time together. In this series of frequently asked questions, we are looking at things that are frequently asked. Everybody has questions about different things at different times in their life for different reasons. So I use the great research tool of our age, the Google machine, and I just simply Googled frequently asked questions to see what would come up, what kind of questions were there, what kind of hits there would be. So a simple search term, frequently asked questions, you can pull out your Google machine right now. It yielded 1.3 billion results, of which I looked at 8. So most of the frequently asked questions that come up when you do that are government websites, websites that give you instructions on filing taxes with the IRS, getting Social Security cards, and the EEOC, which is the Equal Opportunity Commission. And here's one, the Bureau of Consular Affairs. The Bureau of Consular Affairs, I'm not even sure if I'm saying that right, which one of the frequently asked questions for them is, what the heck is the Bureau of Consular Affairs? Which, if you want to know, is the State Department group. They're the ones that give you passports and that sort of thing. So there's also questions on there. It yields results about Microsoft, finding your product key code if you want to download Microsoft. In the list, also, sandwiched between the Department of Labor and the National Institute of Health is a link to FAQs for Walt Disney World. So I don't know why it had it that way, in the one in Florida, so I just had to check it out. What are the most frequently asked questions for Disney World? And the number one thing is about food. Food. What's the number one thing is about food at Disney World? Are Disney dining plans available separately from the vacation package? The answer is no, just so you know. And the second question is, do I have to purchase a vacation package to get the dining plan? It's like the same question. It's the same exact question, just worded differently. This time the answer is yes. I don't know. So why do groups post FAQs? Like even at the Play Cafe, on the Play Cafe website, we have a page for FAQs. Why? Because the real reason is to save on what? What are we trying to save? Time, exactly. We're trying to save on time. FAQs make it so that the person or group that's giving the answers don't have to answer the same question over and over and over and over again. So there's a page for that. Frequently asked questions. Here's what we get all the time. Yes, you need to wear socks at the Play Cafe. Okay? All right. So if you ever ask that question, please wear socks. So FAQs save on time. And time is what we're talking about today. We're talking about time. Also, one of the top vote getters for when we were doing the little poll of what do you want to talk about, what frequently asked questions do you have, basically this, what does the Bible have to say about time? And whenever we talk about time, what we're talking about really is time management. I'll put it in quotes like that, time management. This is sort of the summary word. But we use a lot of verbs and other nouns when we associate with time. Time management is one of them. But here's some other verbs. We want to save time. That's one. Waste time. Lose time, make up time, out of time, plenty of time, just in time, not enough time, time flies, time heals, time to go, time to stay, a race against time, ahead of her time, behind the times, in the nick of time. Here's one for you if you're my age. Now I've had Yes. All right. The time of my life. Yeah. All right. Patrick Swayze. I don't know who actually sang it. All right. A devil of a time. Bide your time. Too much time on your hands. Time is on your side. Time is working against us. In due time. Time for bed. Time to wake up. Needed just a little more time. Breakfast time. Lunch time. Dinner time. Overtime. How about this one? I'm gonna try to string a bunch of them together, as if I haven't already. All in good time, because time will tell if it stands the test of time when the time is ripe for that two-timer to hit the big time, because time is of the essence if third time's a charm. Whew, man, I need something for that. Come on, give me a little love. All right, I practiced that one. We're all about time. I didn't even know there's that many phrases until I started thinking about them. Like, we have so many different ways to talk about time. Time is probably one of our most precious commodities. And here's how I know time is probably worth more than money. How many of you are parents or at some point had this situation where you would rather just write the check for the school fundraiser than hit the pavement and go out and start selling the items so your kids, yeah, time is more valuable than money. You'd just rather write the check for it. You can make more money. You can't make more time. So we try to manage the time that we do have. So what does the Bible say about time management? And the funny thing is, we can't manage it. You can't manage time. Time just keeps marching on, 1 second at a time. And we can do nothing about it except do what we can to invest what time that we do have. 86,400 is the number of seconds in a day. 86,400. That's all we've got. I read something posing the question, what if you got $86,400 at 12:01 a.m. every day, and then whatever you didn't use of your $86,400, it went away from your bank account. But then at 12:01 the next day, it's going to come back. You get another $86,400. You can't save them up. What if every second was worth a dollar and you could never get that dollar back? How valuable are those dollars to you? At the end of the day, it all goes away. But you get a new batch the next day. So the question is, how do you invest that time? How do you invest those dollars? How do you invest those seconds with what do you do with the time that you have each day? So if you're anything like me, then you might feel trapped a little bit with your time. You might feel like your calendar controls you rather than you controlling your calendar. How many of you feel like that? Go ahead, just be honest about that. All right, that's a fair number, but some of you aren't being honest, so it's okay. And that's you're just busy people. And time gets away from you. You're unable to control your calendar and the way that could be a productive or efficient way for you. So here's a test for you. If you're late to your doctor appointment because you're running behind schedule because you got there a little bit late to work, because you're now behind at work, but you're late at work because you overslept a little bit, and you overslept a little bit because you stayed up too late the night before because you were working on projects the night before trying to get stuff done in time. And in the midst of that, there's no space for downtime. There's no space for anything to go wrong. There's no margin time. So what we're going to do today is we're going to scope out a couple of Bible verses that can maybe help us control our calendars a little bit, and then a little tool that might help us with that too. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 18 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." So the first thing I want to say is guard your time. Guard your time. Verse 15, be careful how you walk, he says. Be careful how you conduct yourself. Be careful how you move yourself through life. Walk through life wisely, not foolishly. In other words, don't be stupid. Come on, don't be stupid. As a parent of middle schoolers, okay, no, I won't go down that road. As you go through life, do your best to make the most of what you have. Don't waste it. Don't waste it on foolish things, doing foolish walking, okay? Be careful with how you walk, how you live your life. And I think it's about guarding your time wisely, taking care of the things that you need to take care of at the time you need to take care of them, being responsible. Be careful how you walk, not delaying on priorities while spending time on other less important things. Don't foolishly waste your time because you only got 86,400 seconds every day. And if you can't manage time because time is time and it keeps moving on, then you can guard the time. We can't manage it. You know, we can't keep it back. We can't even save it. But we can guard it. You can guard your time to take care of your responsibilities and be wise with it because it is a precious commodity. So walk wisely with your time. And then the second thing, we redeem the time. Verse 16, the ESV, the English Standard Version, says, making the best use of time because the days are evil. But I think a better translation is actually the King James, which says, redeeming the time. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Yeah, we should make the best use of our time. We should prioritize things well. But because the days are evil, we need to redeem the time. And redeem just means buy it back. Buy it back for good use. Yeah, buy it back for good purposes, for God's purposes. Redeem that time because these days are evil. So redeeming, it means take the evil days, take this evil time that we're in and make it for good. And if the Apostle Paul thought the days were evil back then, like 2,000 years ago or so, if Paul thought it was evil, what would he say about our time today? I mean, it may be even more so. Another issue to raise here is that the original Greek has two words for time. Maybe you've heard me talk about this before. There was chronos time, where we get the word chronology. Okay, so it's like a sequential time where things are, that happen in order sequentially. It's a kind of time like TikTok time, you know, moves from seconds to minutes to hours to days, etc. But there's another time in the Greek, another word, which is called kairos time. Kairos time is like the timing, the situation, the circumstances, the kind of timing where like the timing was just right for the Browns to win on Thursday. Like everything just came together and the time was right for them to finally win after 2 or 3 years or whatever it was. Just kidding, wasn't that long. Felt like it though. The time was right. That's the kind of time that's in this one. The Apostle Paul is saying to us into the Ephesians, he's using the word kairos here. Redeem this time. Buy back these days, this day and age, because this day and age is evil. See how we need to walk wisely. We need to not walk foolishly because our time is evil, so we must redeem our day and time. We have work to do. We have to redeem this time. We must buy back our time for God's purposes. And then verse 17, he says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay? The will of the Lord is to redeem the time. Redeem the time for his will. That's what he's talking about right there. For his glory. Don't be foolish about that. Go and use your time wisely. And then he says in verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think Paul includes this passage because he knows most of the time when we get drunk, we get foolish too, right? Don't we? I mean, say, no. Some people are like, not me. Not me. Pour me another one. I'm not foolish at all. Okay, we do. We do. All right? Don't do it. Don't be foolish. Rather, walk wisely. Don't get drunk. When we get drunk, we yield control of ourselves, of our bodies, to something else. We have no control over what we do. And when we are drunk with wine, the Holy Spirit does not have control either. And they didn't have beer in those days. They just had wine. So I think we can make the leap that we shouldn't drink ourselves to excess to the point where we lose control of ourselves and act a fool. All right? That's what he's saying there. Remember how the passage starts. Don't walk foolishly. Don't be unwise. And so don't walk foolishly when the cop pulls you over for drunk driving. What's the first thing he makes you do? Walk. He makes you walk to see if you're acting a fool. Don't walk like the drunk fool through life wasting your time. Don't act like that, wasting your time. There are much better things to do with your time. The days are already evil enough without doing those things as well. Redeem the time. Use your time wisely, not foolishly. But perhaps there's another level we could consider. And that would be this. You know, let me step off the alcohol thing for a minute. Don't give yourself over to anything except the Holy Spirit. Don't lose yourself into anything that is foolish. All right, here's confession time, all right? I like sports. I do. I love them. I love the competition. I love the physical nature of various sports. I love winning. And there was a time in my life, perhaps I valued winning more than maybe relationships. Just saying. I'm over some of that now. I still get a little competitive, but I'm over a lot of that. So I'm going to tell you a story about first year or two when we were building a youth ministry down in Dayton, and sports were a big part of it because we had a room that was maybe about this size, maybe a little bit smaller. We put a basketball hoop in it. We played all kinds of basketball all the time. These kids just come out and play. But in the summertime, we would go outside and play in the parking lot because that's all we had. We didn't have any green space. We played soccer and football, just kickball, whatever we could play with these kids to get them active. And soccer. So we played soccer. I remember we were playing soccer, like 11 on 11. We have a full parking lot of kids, all right? And it's getting towards the time where we got to do our Bible lesson, you know? So like, all right, next goal wins. All right, so I shout that out. And bless her heart, Stephanie Jones was her name. She was the most pleasant person you could ever meet. And as smart as a anything, like, okay, so her dad is a legit rocket scientist for the Air Force. She is now a rocket scientist, works for Jet Propulsion Laboratories for NASA. So I'm not kidding, she's smart. I'll never understand the science that she's doing, but I will never understand why she missed that goal that day. She had a perfect cross right there. No goalie. Tap it in. Tap it in. That's all you got to do. She missed it. Rolls out of bounds. We lose her tie or something. I'm like coming unglued. I came unglued on this middle school kid. What are you doing? Get your head in the game. Come on. You know, I just lost it to rage over a soccer game in a parking lot for middle school kids with Jesus in mind. I gave myself over to rage. And Paul says, don't be filled with alcohol. Don't be filled with rage. Don't be filled with anything except what? The Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with lots of other things. Wine, beer, lust, drugs, bitterness, rejection, disappointment, jealousy, burdens, and on the list goes. But instead of that, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Redeem the time, he says. You only have so many minutes and seconds in the day. Don't waste them by being filled with something else. If you find yourself being controlled by those things, then pour out the bottle. Put the drugs down the toilet. Get a grip on situations in yourself so you can control the anger that you have. Find a way to forgive. Realize that you've been accepted as who you are by the only one who can love you unconditionally. And whatever control means for you, the Holy Spirit is not controlling you when you give yourself over to those things. So redeem the time. Buy that back. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a few other passages in the Bible that talk about time. James talks about our lives being fleeting and vanishing. We're just like dust in the wind sort of thing. Ecclesiastes talks about the appropriate time to dance and sing and mourn and laugh and plant and harvest. You probably know that. There was a song written about that too. Jesus used the word, the kairos word, the timing word in Mark chapter 1 when he announced why he'd come to earth. He says the timing is right, the timing is now, repent and believe. But I want to look briefly at Psalm 90. Most of the Psalms were written by King David and a few others, but some scattered here and there by Solomon and such. But this one that is that I'm going to read for you, Psalm 90, is written by Moses. It's one of the hymns of the Hebrew people. That's what the Psalms were. Basically hymns that the Hebrew people would sing. We don't know what the tunes are. We sing a lot of the words that are in them now, today. So really, they're very poetic. The verses here that Moses wrote, one of the earliest Psalms Moses wrote because he would have been the oldest author, shows us the value of time for us and the value of time for God. So I'm going to read the whole thing. It's kind of lengthy, but I want you to just kind of sit back and relax and enjoy the poetry of it for those of you who kind of speak that poetic type of language. Psalm 90. Lord, You have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or before you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turned people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children, and may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands." To me, if you take the totality of it, it sounds like Moses is whining. You know, he's like, make us glad for the days that you've afflicted us with life. You've given us life, but it's hard. Ugh, make us glad for it. But remember, he was wandering around the wilderness for 40 years with people who didn't appreciate being wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. The people he was leading were difficult, and life was difficult, so I kind of get it. But I just want to take a couple of them that just highlight the time. God created time in verse 4. First of all, it's to say he created time, so God is above time. God is around time. He's over time. He's not limited by time because he existed before time. Moses said it like this, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Peter said the same thing a couple thousand years later, or in God's timing, like 2 days. He said, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. It can just go like that. God's able to see all of time at one time. He sees the beginning of time. He sees the end of time all together. That's the creator of time, because he can be above it and not limited by time. And so this is how God can see you like you are now, but also he can see you like what you will become. And that's his present. As we are on that journey towards Christ-likeness, he already sees us as perfected, as whole, as children who are loved by God, already transformed in the image of his son, Jesus Christ, because God sees you right now as what you are and what you are yet to become in the distant future. So start walking in what you are to become. Walk wisely, because it could all be changed in an instant. Secondly, don't try to manage your time. Instead, manage your life. If 1,000 years passes by that quickly for God, then who are we to try and slow it down? We can't slow down time. We can't manage it. We didn't make time. We can't save time. Time just keeps marching on. And the only thing we can do is manage ourselves and redeem the time that we do have. So Moses goes on and says, all our days pass away under your wrath, and we finish our years with a moan. Good old uplifting Moses strikes again. But he gives some truth. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. And you might have heard the verse a different way. 70 or 80 by reason of strength. You might have heard it that way before. The score is just 20. So 70 is 60, 10 is 10, 70 years. If you think about it, humans kind of live to 70 to 80 years. And if by reason of strength, They make it a little bit longer. But Moses is right. They pass quickly and we fly away compared to 1,000 years going by in a day. 70 years is nothing. And the older you get, the faster time flies. Remember when you were little, or if you're young now, how you get to Christmas, and Christmas is awesome, right? Christmas is the best. And then December 26 hits, and you're like, it's a whole year till Christmas. A whole year. And if you're 5 years old, that's a really long time, a whole year. And I think for us, it's a little bit shorter, right? It doesn't take that long. For a student in school, a year of school, 9 months, might as well be an eternity. And maybe if you're a teacher too, might as well just be an eternity to take that 9 months. But for us parents, it's like, it goes quick. But I think it has to do with percentages. For the five-year-old waiting for Christmas to come a whole year away, that's like one-fifth of their life. It's like 20% of their life is spent waiting on Christmas. I turned 40 this year. Waiting till Christmas is like a 40th of my life. That's only 2.5%. Like, it doesn't take long. Like, okay, I can wait till Christmas. It's not that big a deal. You can't stop the time. You can't manage the time. You can only manage yourself and how you use the time. So Moses tells us to manage yourself wisely in verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Keep track of what you do, what you have coming, and do it wisely. That was the point of the Ephesians passage. Walk wisely, not foolishly, so as to redeem the time. You can't keep time from moving, but you can make the most of what time you do have. Walking wisely means to redeem the time. Using our days with a heart of wisdom is an instruction that is twofold. I've mostly had my mind on people who are so busy they can't control their calendars, and maybe people need to cut their calendars so they can be healthy. But I think there's a subset of us who need that challenge and need to hear this. Walking wisely to redeem the time means don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Don't be a slouch. Don't be a mooch on everybody else. Get up. Do your work. Get that job. Give it your best. Give it your all. Do everything you possibly can to contribute to your society, contribute to and be a blessing to your church, to your family. Walk wisely and don't throw away the time that you do have. Redeem what time you have for God's purposes. And then live life wisely while you're here on earth. But I want to provide a little tool that might be helpful for all of us. It's helpful to control our calendars for those whose calendars control them. For those of you whose calendar is out of control and you're just crazy, crazy all the time. And for those who have so little going on that they don't know what a calendar is. This could be a useful tool for you too. So when you think of a calendar, it's just sort of the practical end of the message. Filter it through these four M's that I'm going to talk about. Four M's from Mike Breen. Four words that might help you wrestle your calendar under control. So you're not just managing time, but managing yourself and what things you have to do. And the words are simply maintain, marginalize, maximize, and move into. I'll talk about them in a moment. Maintain, and this is what it sounds like. Look at your calendar. Look at all the things that you have to do. What are the things that you need to maintain? What are the things that you have to do? And if you didn't do them, everything would fall apart. And you might say, everything, Dave, everything would fall apart if I didn't do everything. That's probably not true. But you have a job. You have a job that you have to go to and do those things that if you didn't do them, you would lose your job. That's a maintain. You maintain those things. At home, there's probably things that you have that you just do. Somebody's got to take trash out. Somebody's got to do lunch. Somebody's got to cut the grass. Whatever it is, what do you have to maintain? Maybe you feel like those little jugglers that have the sticks and the plates spinning on them, you know? Like, you got to maintain all these plates going around on the stage, you know? I got to keep this going. What do you have to maintain? So I would say to you, be responsible with the things that you have to maintain. And then secondly, marginalize. This isn't about maintenance. This is about cutting. To use biblical terminology, pruning. John 15 talks about abiding and being connected to the vine so that we can naturally bear fruit. And he says, even the vines that do produce fruit, that bear fruit, get pruned so that they can bear more fruit. So what do you need to prune out of there? Sometimes we need to prune things out of the calendar so we can bear even more fruit. And this is really hard because we have to use a two-letter word. No. You have to say no to things sometimes. Just say no to good things even. Say no to things that we've been doing for a long time, even if they were good, so that we can bear more fruit than we are now. Marginalizing is saying no and pruning away the things on your calendar that either other people can do or that don't need to be done anyway, so that you can invest your time elsewhere. So write down all the things that you could marginalize, that the things that you do, but you maybe don't have to do. And I would say to you, be ruthless. Be ruthless when you prune. Just cut it. Even if it means somebody's going to hurt, because even when you prune a plant, it bleeds a little. You know, the little sap comes out, and it sheds a tear. It hurts. No, it cuts. All right, then secondly, or thirdly, maximize. Okay, now maximizing is taking a peek at the things that you're maintaining, but how can you maximize the effort so that fruit can bear out later? Maximize your investment of time in a particular area. Perhaps it will bear more fruit. And the key word there is intentionality. You already have to make dinner, so involve your kids in it. And you already have to do the dishes. Do it together. Talk about Jesus while you're doing it. You already have to make that sales trip to Cleveland. Why not invite someone to go along with you for the ride, and you can just talk? You already have to stand in line at Walmart. Why not use that time to be Jesus to everyone around you, because God knows they need it there. Maximizing takes the maintaining of what you're doing, the jobs that you have to normally do, and makes it intentional. When I first learned this principle, the thing that I wrote down was the morning routine. Because at the time the kids were young, Bethany had to go to work early, so I would get the kids ready for school. And if you do that, you know what a headache that is. It can be a real hassle, especially when they're young. Lots of tension is the best way to put it, perhaps. I decided to make that an intentional time in our morning routine with the kids together. I'd already had to do it, so why would I allow that to be a time of frustration and anger right before school? So I took control of the situation because I was the parent, to be intentional, created space for a peaceful time getting ready, and then we were on time and had time to chat a little bit on our way to school. Now, it's not 100%, but we only had a few fails every month rather than failing every day, every week. So be intentional about maximizing things. And the last one's move into. Moving into is about taking on something new. Where's God leading you to explore new things? Maybe he's saying, be a coach, take on a ministry, do a home group study. Move into is taking the space created by marginalizing to be intentionally move into fruit-producing ministry. And you can't move into anything if your calendar is so full that there's no room for anything. So you have to cut some things sometimes to move into where God's leading you. So maybe this is where the folks who may not be as busy as other people take on a challenge to do something new and creative, do something that would contribute back to our town, to our church, and our families, moving into something new so that other people can be blessed. So I would say to you, be proactive. So I sure hope this little tool helps you control your calendar. It's helped me over the years, and I have to examine it like every 6 months or so. Okay, what have I taken on that I kind of need to say no to? That's not really maximizing my time, and other people maybe can do it. To learn to say no over and over and over again. And the maximizer tool is good too, because I'll get in the rut and just sort of do things in routine rather than being intentional about what I do and including other people in it or being Jesus to people in the midst of it. And of course, what is God calling you to move into, and how can you add value to God's kingdom in a new way? There's not a great close on this message, like a, hey, come forward and, you know, I'm gonna lay it all on the altar or whatever. This is personal. I don't know your calendar. I don't know how you respond to time. I don't know what your situation is for how you navigate 86,400 seconds a day. Only you do. But I want to summarize it by paraphrasing that passage from Ephesians. Look carefully then how you walk, not as a foolish drunk person, but as a wise person, making the best use of your time and redeeming it for God's glory, because these days are evil. Take care of what time you do have, because our time is fleeting and precious. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are patient with us. You're patient with us as we sort of learn to navigate time and how to use time and understand its preciousness in our days. And God, for each of us individually, as we perhaps learn these principles and take on new disciplines, help us to find where you're leading us so that we can step into new things. Help us to maximize what we're already doing so that we're intentional with showing love to people and not just doing it by rote, but on purpose, for your purpose and for your glory. And above all, whatever situation we're in, God, we ask that you redeem the time. Redeem us for your glory, for your purpose. Redeem it so that you are seen in everything that we do, wherever we march through the day in our calendar, that people see you in us wherever we are. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for this closing song.